Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Democrats should know that they put the White House and the president in this position. And if they don't want further harm on their constituents back home, then they need to reopen the government. It's very simple. Pass the clean continuing resolution and all of this goes away. We would not be having these discussions here at the White House today if not for the Democrats voting to shut the government down. This is an unfortunate consequence. And the president and Russ Vogt will be meeting on that later today.
So Carolyn Leavitt there saying it is a clean CR. The Democrats are saying no, it's not, that the Republicans are playing dirty tricks and dirty games. The Republicans are saying the Democrats are trying to fund illegal immigrant health care. What is the truth of what is going on right now over this government shutdown? Let's ask our friend, Chairman Jason Smith. He represents Missouri's 8th District in Congress, and he is chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. Congressman, thank you for being here with us today. It's always good to have you.
It's great to be with you, Annie.
Give us what we need to know. What's the truth here? Why is the government shut down?
Well, it's because of the 60-vote threshold in the United States Senate. If you recall, about 2 weeks ago, the House of Representatives passed a clean continuation of funding. What that means is what funding was on September 30th, which was just a couple days ago, the end of the fiscal year, it will continue as that same amount of funding for 7 more weeks to try to get where both sides can agree on a final budget of appropriations. However, of course, the United States Senate has 52, 53 Republicans, and you need 60 votes to end the filibuster. And the Democrats have continued to block the filibuster. They've continued to block a vote on the continuing resolution. The votes are there to pass it. They just won't allow them to ever get to a vote because of the filibuster and the 60-vote rule. And so it's important to note that when the Democrats controlled the White House, the House, and the Senate, when Biden was president and they controlled both chambers, 13 times they passed clean CRs just like this. What is on the floor is exactly what the Democrats voted for in March whenever it was a CR for the rest of the year.
So it's a clean CR.
It's a clean CR. There's no bones about it. What you hear a lot of people talking about right now is what the Democrats came to the table and said, we will support this clean CR if you will increase spending almost $1.4 trillion. You will provide health care for illegals. You will expand a COVID-era policy to bail out insurance companies, and you will cut $50 billion from rural health care. That was their request.
I have a comment here from a listener who's taking in our conversation here with Chairman Jason Smith. They say, what are Republicans doing to get the votes in the Senate? So you're going to need some Democrat votes there. Is that Republicans' responsibility to make those negotiations to get this through? How's it going to get done?
Well, that's what Senator Thune is working on. You know, we did our job in the House. Of course, only one Democrat voted with us when we passed this clean CR on the House side. And the one Democrat didn't cast his vote until he saw that we already had 218. And he happens to be from a district that Trump won in Maine. So it's really showing a brave soul right there. And so that's what you have over in the Senate right now. You have Democrats that's saying one thing, that they want government to be open. They want to make sure that the military receives their checks, but they're not voting that way. What we're passing The CR is just continuation of funding. It does not make sense that you eliminate all funding because you want $1.4 trillion in new spending. That it, what they don't understand is it empowers the administration, which they hate. They hate President Trump, and President Trump will have so much authority in allocating the resources and deciding who's an essential employee, who's not an essential employee, and what programs need to be taken care of.
Mm. Chairman Smith, Jason Smith, with us right now representing Missouri's 8th District. So what you're talking about right now, some authority going back to the executive branch if the government has been shut down, is anything that the president can do now with what gets funded, what doesn't get funded, can anything that he implements be made permanent, or is it all undone when the government opens back up?
It absolutely can't be made permanent. It will be really hard for them to undo it, which it shows proof to me that they're not thinking. I mean, they hate anything that President Trump does. It's just if he said that oxygen was great, they would stop breathing. So, like, it's just how they manage themselves. Mm. And so it is unconscionable of how they're behaving right now.
Yeah, you know, I want to kind of into the behavior and, like, what is the long-term plan here? I would assume that usually Republicans kind of have an idea like, all right, this is where the Democrats are going to want to get to. Let's see how they're going to, you know, have the ends justify the means. Fox News reports that former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi got into a sharp exchange with a reporter on Wednesday after being asked whether Republicans should negotiate with Congressman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in order to end the shutdown. And Nancy Pelosi snapped back and said, why are you saying such a ridiculous thing? But I've seen AOC say, come talk to me. Is this rift between AOC and Chuck Schumer a real, actual, tangible thing for leadership in the Democrat Party right now?
The only reason why we're in a government shutdown is because the Democrats in Washington are catering to their liberal base, led by Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer voted for this exact piece of legislation in March. He prevented a government shutdown in March. He voted for it, allowed it to move forward. But then he got crucified by his liberal base because you were supporting Donald Trump and keeping government open, and AOC is looking over his shoulders. So in his rearview mirror, he sees AOC, knowing that if she challenges him for Senate, she can beat him in a primary. Nancy Pelosi is upset over AOC telling people to come visit because Nancy Pelosi is no longer the leader of the Democrat Party. She's just a 85-plus-year-old member of Congress that should retire. But you have AOC who's going to be the nominee for the Democrats, and she is the leader of the Democrat Party.
I mean, that is quite a sea change. It feels as though with AOC being what I would have considered, you know, the squad originally being the far left progressive wing of representation in Congress, now kind of her having the opportunity to potentially step in the mainstream. I think there was a time where we would have thought that Chuck Schumer would have been somebody who would have been willing to be more moderate, to get the job done, to do the negotiation, to see some progress. Does intra-party, do you see people looking to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to take over and give it a fresh face?
The Democrat Party has really shifted in the last 10 years since I've been in Washington, D.C. myself. Nancy Pelosi was Speaker while I was up there, and she is viewed as a rarity in Washington. And what I mean by that is that the AOC wing has become the majority of the Democrats in Washington. They have been very successful in their Democrat primaries in winning these crazy members of Congress that are so extreme, such as Tlaib, such as Omar, such as Presley. You have AOC. There's numerous ones you could go down the line, and they have been recruiting these candidates over a long time, and they've been winning those primaries. And now they have the numbers in the Democrat Party, and that's why you're seeing the dysfunction.
Chairman, this is Ryan Wiggins. I was hoping you could help me kind of figure out what exactly the Democrats are negotiating for, or if they're negotiating at all, because I'm following the news cycle just like everybody else, and they seem to be talking about health care, but anytime Republicans say, yeah, but you're trying to fund illegal immigration, then they back off of health care, and that's it. I'm not hearing anything else they're trying to do. So what is it that they're trying to accomplish with this?
So they actually filed a piece of legislation with the CR showing what they do want in order to keep government open. It adds up with a lot of different items that would be about $1.4 trillion in new spending. The biggest items that they care about is bailing out the insurance companies that would cost roughly $400 billion. This was a COVID-era program that they did to expand Obamacare back during the American Rescue Plan and the Inflation Reduction Act. They are also proposing that we reinstate being able to provide Medicaid and other welfare benefits to illegal immigrants. They've proposed in the same legislation to eliminate the $50 billion that's going to rural health care. It's crazy, but those are all items that's on paper. They can try to deny it, but this is what they have said. We will open up government if you do this, which is absolutely unrealistic. 77 million Americans voted for Donald Trump to be president. They voted for a Republican majority House and Senate, and their demands is like a party that is in control of power in Washington. It is so unfortunate. Eight senators can block it. I've been telling my Senate counterparts, you should be able to break a filibuster in a government shutdown to make sure that government's funded. All you should have to have is 51 votes. I would encourage my colleagues to change the Senate rules and eliminate a filibuster for something like this.
So it sounds like Democrats are pitching things that Republicans are full non-starters, and Democrats know that. Therefore, they're not really negotiating at all.
They're not negotiating at all. They're not being realistic. They're not coming to the table. Let me just tell you how much of obstacles that the Democrats have been putting in. Just 2 weeks ago, we marked up nine different bills in the Ways and Means Committee, very bipartisan bills. It took almost 8 hours because all they wanted to do was to get attention on C-SPAN and to attack President Trump. When you added up those nine bills that we passed, it was 420 yeses, six noes. Six noes, but it took them 8 hours. They just tried to obstruct and block. They will vote against legislation, not that they oppose anything in it, but because of what's not in it. And that's what they're doing with this funding of government right now. They're not opposed to what's in it. They're opposed of what's not in it. And that is why they shut down government.
Last question for you. We appreciate your time today. We're speaking with Congressman Jason Smith. Do you see an obvious end in sight here? We've had these, I think, what was the last one, like 35 days? Could this go on for a long time? You think the Democrats will cave?
You know, I don't know how. I said this all along. I don't know how the Democrats view how they can get out of this. And they're going to be eating a lot of crow. They created this situation. I think it's going to last a while. I don't think it's something that's going to happen for only 2 or 3 days. I know some of my counterparts think that maybe in a week, but the Democrats are not showing any inclination that I have seen to the White House, to House and Senate leadership, that they're willing to come to the table in a reasonable fashion.
Do you think that means that the sombrero memes will continue to flow out of the White House?
You know, President Trump is a much different communicator than I am.
than most people.
Expect the unexpected. That's all I can say.
Well, that is a great, great political answer. I appreciate it. Congressman Smith, we are grateful for your time. Please come back soon. We love having you.
Of course. Good to be with you.
You as well. Bye-bye. Not touching that one with a 10-foot pole. Yeah, I tried. It's nice to get a little personality out of these folks when you have the opportunity, and that was a good test of his character. I appreciate that answer from him.
It's also a realistic view of how this thing's shaken out, because it just doesn't sound like it's really moving. I mean, we can't see it from here that it's moving, and it doesn't sound like they see any movement either.
I mean, they've put themselves in a position that is uncompromisable. There's really nothing there to compromise on. And it would appear that that means that the Democrats are going to have to just go, well, we tried, and then do what they could have done a long time ago. But in the process of putting their foot down, and they're going to have shut the government down for some time, and they're putting the authority into the president's hands to do what Representative Smith was saying there, which is make some permanent moves.
Usually,
to who's in what position and what is funded.
No matter who's in the majority or the minority, usually the way these things end is the minority finds one thing and they go, that's our thing. We're going to try to get that one thing. And they start with this big list, of course, it's what you do. And then you narrow it down. You realize you're not going to get much of it, if any. So you focus on the one thing and you go, this is what we have to have. But I don't even see that. They're not even to the point where they're whittling it down yet. Like he just said, they have this huge laundry list of things that they're clearly not going to get, and they're not talking to anybody about it.
We want to know what you think about the sombrero memes. It's really the most important question that we can answer here on the show. How do you feel about the president's sombrero memes? It's a funny joke. Doesn't bother me. Not helpful. Or they're shameful. Annie Fry YouTube channel. In the live chat, you can vote. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you noticed that J.D. Vance has been made to be like the face of the shutdown? Like, he's out there. He's talking about it. He's the president of the Senate, so that makes sense.
Yeah, he's been the most vocal spokesperson for the Republican side.
He's just like a happy warrior.
He also seems unrehearsed, which is really nice. And he may be sitting in meetings and coming up with talking points. I have no idea how he preps, but he seems to just know his stuff.
He might just be really smart.
He might be.
I think he is. What did he get into? Yale? I think he went to Yale Law School, which is supposed to apparently be the hardest one to get into. I don't know. Where was that? Where's the drag queen at?
Drag queen was at Harvard.
Oh, Timu Yale.
Timu Yale.
Says me. I'm going to get in big trouble.
Oh, you only went to Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
Go Cougars, SIUE, proud grad.
Yeah, go Cougars, go Harvard.
But I didn't apply to Yale because I knew I didn't want to travel. Why
I did
you?
Apply to Yale because I wanted to be the vice president of the United States. And then I realized that's hard.
And look where you landed.
And so I came here.
Here's the vice president.
Okay, go ahead and ask the second question.
So the president's been posting some images of Leader Jeffries and Senator Schumer.
I saw.
Recently.
He's
said that you're
laughing.
Interested in good faith negotiations with these leaders, but you know, what message does that send? Is it helpful to post pictures of Leader Jeffries in a sombrero if you're trying to have good faith talks with him?
Oh, I think it's funny. The president's joking, and we're having a good time. You can negotiate in good faith while also poking a little bit of fun at some of the absurdities of the Democrats' positions and even, you know, poking some fun at the absurdity of the Democrats themselves. I mean, I'll tell Hakeem Jeffries right now, I make this solemn promise to you that if you help us reopen the government, the sombrero memes will stop.
And there you go. There's the line. That's the negotiating line. Stop the sombrero memes. Open the government. Have you noticed societally that we are super soft?
Yeah. No, I haven't noticed that. Are we?
In every facet. Not like politics. Not in the sharing of politics. Not in the fact that we need to have the ability to have differing opinions in this country.
Man.
We're yes. so soft.
We are. We've created an entire vernacular around it. I was listening to somebody yesterday talk for a long time.
Was it me?
No.
It's just talk
Although
for a long time.
I did listen to you talk for a long time yesterday.
Not the whole time. You asked me questions that no, I had just answered.
It was outside of noon to three, and they were talking about their trauma and the way that they overcame it. It was all the buzzwords, and it was sad to me because it was, first of all, very narcissistic. It was very self-focused. And then secondly, they had adopted all of it as part of their personality. And it was so sad to listen to because they were talking about it in these good terms. Like, oh, I've overcome this and this and that and that. Mm-hmm. But it defined who
was it
this guy was.
Even?
Yeah. And I said, stop it.
Ethan'll never, all he does is talk about being a victim.
He does.
He's usually a victim.
He's always the
victim. Of yours.
Well, that's true. Or vice versa. Sometimes
you victimize
I'm the
him.
Victim of him.
Yeah.
But it was such a reminder that we talk to each other all day. We don't talk like that. Mm-mm. The people that I live with, my family, we don't talk like that. But there are a lot of people out there, they are in that mindset.
We also give each other a lot of crap.
Yes, we do. That's what friends do.
Yeah.
When I went out with my guy friends, like the trip we take every year.
Do you guys only flatter each other? Can you imagine being in a group of guys and just only compliment each other?
Look at this guy.
I'd be like, I'm super uncomfortable. I gotta go.
Oh my gosh. I'm gonna try that next year.
You guys should all try it.
And that's gonna be great.
You know what they're gonna be? All compliments that are super sarcastic.
I know, but you gotta start real. Oh my gosh, that's gonna be fun.
He's gonna schedule a trip. It's gonna be the nice trip. It'll be where we go to be nice to each other.
But I come home from that trip and my wife goes, you guys, what's new with all these guys? And I'm like, I don't know. I have no clue what's going on
you
in their
didn't
lives.
Talk about it. No. Like, girls are like, hi, let's go sit down and talk. Uh-huh. Let's get to the bottom of this. We're going to solve the world's problems, but not tell anybody about it. Joe Concha next on Sombreros. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know
what General Joe
that AI racist video of Minority Leader Jeffries wearing a sombrero, but also like celebrating that video. And it was playing on a loop in the briefing room today. What are you hearing from the inside about that?
It was not only just playing on a loop in the briefing room. If you've never been in the press briefing room, for those who haven't, there are loudspeakers overhead so you can hear announcements or what's being said or if there is an event going on with the president in the Rose Garden, for example. They were playing that mariachi music as well over the loudspeakers for all the press that was coming in and out of the White House today inside the press briefing room. It just kind of gives you a window, John, into how they're dealing with this and how they believe they have the upper hand when it comes to the messaging here, and also kind of how things have changed from the first time Donald Trump was in office. I mean, there was a shutdown then. I remember all 35 days of it. As the president said at the beginning, he'd be proud to shut the government down. And then it ended, obviously, with him not getting the money for his border wall. This time, you know, there's a moment here. They're being heavily criticized over this, over these posts by the president, by Democrats. And instead of backing off or apologizing for it, they're leaning into it and they're playing the music over loudspeakers and on repeat inside the briefing room because they simply don't care about that criticism.
Oh, what you know, Joe?
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
So, Joe Concha, welcome back to the show. I haven't talked to you in a while. It's good to have you back here. Thanks for the time this afternoon.
Always, my friend. Boy, nothing to talk about today, huh?
All I want to talk about is sombreros. I just think this is so funny. They're really upset, not about shutting down the government and people going without pay, but Donald Trump's social media timeline has Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer in a sombrero. What do you think about all of this? Is it a problem?
Well, gee, I don't know. I've been alive for the last 10 years, and I can swear that all the people that are upset about this, starting with Jeffries, starting with Schumer, have referred to Donald Trump as a fascist, as an authoritarian. So, I don't know, when you call somebody that after a while and he just wants to punch back in a hilarious way, you don't have the moral high ground here now, do you?
Ames.
So, yeah, seriously, it's just so, they're calling it racist. They're calling it, the fact that the White House is playing on a loop. You know what they actually think now? They don't care about the criticism.
They don't care.
They embrace it. You think they care that CNN is upset about this? That's a feather in the cap as far as they're concerned. I think the first term, they took this stuff a little more seriously. Then they're like, media has no influence. Everybody hates them just as much as they hate Democrats these days, if you look at the polling. So, yeah, if they're mad about it, we're doing something right.
Amen. Joe Concha speaking with us right now. His book is The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign. You know, you've written the book on this, but even going further past the campaign to win his second term, what these people have done to Donald Trump, what they have made up, what they have colluded, they have manufactured about him. If the worst that they get is a mariachi band in a press briefing room, they're getting off easy.
Oh, that's such a great point. Yeah, you're so right about that. Just everything that they have said and done over the years where, they took him off of state ballots. Do you remember that little gambit, Colorado?
Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of funny. 94 felony counts. Yeah, they tried to put him in jail. Like, they realized that was the only way they could beat him. And then, obviously, two assassination attempts. I'm not saying Democrats were behind them, but certainly Democrats thinking people were, especially Ryan Ruth, who literally was quoting the Tim Walz of the world, saying that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy that must be stopped. He said that in his manifesto. And that's exactly what we've been hearing from Democrats for many years. And when some crazy guy hears stop, they mean with a bullet, like the one that took Charlie Kirk. So, I just think that I'm not even shocked or surprised anymore with the way the media responds to this stuff, and especially CNN, who, went with the Orange Man Bad meme for years and thought that taco was the funniest thing ever when the Eric Swalwells of the world were going after Trump for that. How'd that work out? So, yeah, you all suck. What can I say? I've lost my mind at this point.
Yeah, we kind of all have. And we have a fatigue about it, but I think coming out of the fatigue, it's really interesting that how many people that I see being very reactionary towards the sombrero thing, like people are kind of willing to laugh at something that's funny again, but there's still that contingent of people who think it's the worst thing that they've ever seen. Like I said, while the government is shutting down, no, let's solve sombrero gate. It doesn't even make any sense, but there are people who are looking at this going, okay, that's kind of funny. And that's refreshing.
Refreshing is the only word that I would use now. And just one second there, because hold on, I had to put you on speaker. Okay, now
you're
I
good.
Sound a lot better.
Yes, you're good. You're good.
Got to get my kid at a birthday party. Who has a birthday party at 11 o'clock on a Thursday? Well,
holy cow. That should be like...
A kid named Louie does. Yeah,
is that like Pacific time? Okay, let me ask you, since you brought up being a dad, I want to ask you something about this. We were just talking about it in the segment before, kind of in the same vein of, being able to joke, being able to laugh again. I was asking the crew here, like, how soft is our culture right now? How soft are we in, the ability to kind of land a joke, to take a joke, to be able to laugh at a joke in front of other people without fear of being judged for it? Do you feel like we're soft, and do you feel like we're possibly coming out of that?
Back in the 90s, said that we're a nation of wimps. Flakes now at this point, and not we, of course, but primarily the left. And I think what has happened, we could talk about policy, until the cows come home, but really in the end, Republicans are the cool party now, right? They're the ones that you want to have a beer with or watch a game with. Before, it was supposed to be like stuffy old white guys, I guess, was the portrayal. And Democrats were like young and hip and cool. And now Democrats are the angry, unhinged, not fun ones. And Donald Trump, and I mean, I don't know if you saw J.D. Vance at the press briefing yesterday, where he said, Caroline, I don't know how you do this. How do you remember everybody's names? And then he says, you, that's a nice shirt.
That's so question, relatable. It's like a real dude saying something that's not super polished and poll tested and everything. There's something about even Donald Trump that seems relatable to the American people. And I almost wonder if the relatability of Donald Trump is only in comparison to how unrelatable the Joe Bidens of the world. Like, what reality were we being asked to live in watching Joe Biden be the president of the United States? You wrote the book on that as well. But people look at our leaders now and go, you know what? I think they're real people that understand real issues, and I might lean towards that for now.
Yeah, can I tell you, when I was at Mar-a-Lago for New Year's Eve, and I actually got to sit at the president's table, which was awesome. Cool, you know, when you consider, like, J.D. and Usher there, I'm sorry, the vice president and the second lady, like they're my bowling team. So they're there, and Jordan Peterson's there, and Elon Musk is there, and Melania's there. And then we finally get a couple minutes with the president, and that was when I first got the cover sent to me by my publisher. It was only on my phone, obviously. The book wasn't ready yet. And I showed Trump, the president. I said, so what do you think? You know, this is the photo I decided to go with, and it's him waving goodbye to people going through the drive-thru at McDonald's.
Amazing.
He goes, I bet that you were pressured by your publisher to go with the assassination photo, right? Fight, fight, fight. I go, yeah, that's exactly what they wanted. They said, that's the iconic photo. I said, yeah, but I think what captured the campaign was the fact that you worked a shift at McDonald's, right? You're working the fries, you're talking to the workers, you're you know, being, you know, charming with the people going through the drive-thru. And Democrats in the same vein were calling you Hitler. And at last check, you know, Adolf didn't work any, you know, shifts at McDonald's. Like, how could you call this guy, like, all these horrible things? And then he does these hilarious things, like the garbage man stunt, right, when Biden called everybody garbage. McDonald's, I mean, the jokes he told at the Al Smith dinner when Kamala didn't show up. Like, I remember this one. He goes, you know, Democrats keep telling me that there are more than two genders. And I didn't believe them until I met Tim Walz. That's funny. You know, I even hear, like, the producers laughing there in the background.
Yeah.
That's the thing, man. It's and tell something like one funny joke that Kamala ever told.
No.
Never.
No.
It doesn't exist.
She had Molly Shannon come on to mock Catholics at a recorded video at the Al Smith dinner. Give me a break. Like, gosh, you want to talk about tone deaf?
It's in New York and it got booed.
Yes.
What I knew. It was over. I mean, I was confident for a while. I'm like, now it's done. If she can't win the Catholic vote, who's left? The childless cat lady. Like, that's basically it.
Joe Concha speaking with us right now. When it comes to the government shutdown, of course, the right is fighting fire with sombreros and somehow imagining winning based on doing that. The Democrats keep saying that the Republicans are trying to play dirty tricks. And it just feels to me like the media that's been able to populate and propagate some sort of messaging successfully for the Democrat Party, it just doesn't click. It's like the Democrats, like the Schumers, or the AOCs, or the Pelosi's of the world are still playing by the same rules that they think that they've been playing and winning with a media that would lap up what they say. But for whatever reason, the American people aren't lapping it up. It's not effective. And it looks like they can't find their way out of a paper bag. How does the shutdown end for the Democrats?
I think it's a boy who cried wolf moment where they say just the same stuff over and over again about dictatorships and Republicans want to shut down the government. At last check, they passed the bill in the House, okay? And it's now you can literally just shut the government down, or you could have this thing called a continuing resolution that carries on a lot of Biden stuff in it, by the way. And they chose not to, and they thought they could blame Trump. And I think this time the public's just like, A, I don't care that the government shut down. I really think that most people, I'm out and about like all day today, like, you know, just talking to different people. And no one cares that the government shut down because they don't feel it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cry over a couple of government workers being furloughed? No, I'm not, actually. And two, by shutting down the government, now Democrats have handed Trump the ability to pass all these things that they otherwise would be able to fight back against. So it's a stupid strategy. Schumer is a horrible face for this party because his own party doesn't even like him. And then you got AOC. There she is on, I think it was MSNBC, saying Republicans can come to my office and negotiate with me anytime. Oh, you're running the party now? I thought it was Akeem Jeffries was a House Minority Leader. I thought Schumer was the Senate Minority Leader, and now you're going to negotiate one-on-one? Like, there is a big problem within that party. It's going to be fascinating in 2024 to see, like, who wins. Will Rahm Emanuel, like the centrist, if you want to call him that, does he end up winning, or does he get Bloomberg, right, where, you know, they're going to laugh him out of the room because he's not left enough? Will it be Gavin Newsom, who's as phony as a $3 bill, or will it be AOC, who's probably going to run for president? I say she gets the nomination because she has the most energy behind her, and the media will choose her to be the candidate because she's a woman of color, and she's, you know, a woman, and she says a lot of provocative things. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. And if she ends up getting the nomination, if you're a Republican, you were so happy because she's not going to run to the middle like Kamala tried to, where she switched all of her positions, basically. She's going to run far left. She's going to go full Mamdani, which works, I guess, okay in New York. It's not going to work in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Nevada, all those swing states, North Carolina, Georgia. That I do know.
Oh, my goodness. Last question, and I know you got to run here, but you're a New Jersey guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Right here, right now.
Is there going to be a Republican governor in New Jersey after this election?
Yes.
Yes!
You see how quickly I answered that?
Yeah, you know, I always say
all the momentum right now.
I'm in Illinois, and I'm like, if New Jersey can have a Republican governor, maybe Illinois. I mean, that's a tall order, but I'm watching New Jersey.
Crazy.
I'm crazy. I am crazy.
I'll put it this way: Biden won by 16 points in 2020. Then Trump only lost by 5 in 2024. So that's an 11-point shave. We've had Republican governors this century, believe it or not. We have Chris Christie. We had Tom Kane way back in the day. So it can be done. And Jack Cittarelli, who's running here, Annie, he only lost by 2 points to Phil Murphy, to the point where Fox, you know, we admittedly were not prepared that night to even talk about New Jersey because we thought it was so far gone. So if he was that close that time against a sitting governor, he's going up against, like, our version in New Jersey of Kamala Harris. Like, Mikey Sherrill is that bad. And this cheating scandal isn't going to go away. The fact she couldn't even walk at her own graduation, that's a big problem. And then, obviously, she made $8 million in stocks and can't explain how it happened. I'm sorry. I think that Jack wins this in a very close race, but polls are showing more and more that this race is definitely tightening. I think Real Clear Politics has it under 5 points now, which tells me probably tied.
Oh, it's exciting to watch, and we're pulling for it. Joe Concha, I knew you'd have the insight on that. Thanks for being with us. Have fun at the midday birthday party in the week. That's wild. I hope it's a great one.
I guess it's a Jewish holiday, so I figured, all right, it's a good day to do it because everybody's off from school.
So, there
you go. They're cutting the cake right now, as a matter of fact. All right, I'm coming in.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Joe Concha, a mile a minute, Fox News contributor, being a dad, doing all of the things, writing the greatest comeback ever. That's the name of his book, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, Big Beautiful Campaign. The Big Beautiful Bill is something else. That's what happens when I stop reading and I just keep talking. This is such a great book. I did the audiobook on it and listened to it, and Joe reads it, and it is so good. It's a great Christmas gift if you're starting to do your Christmas shopping. I've done some Christmas shopping myself. Get that greatest comeback ever and just enjoy the ride once again over and over if you so choose. It's fantastic. All right, Ryan, get back in here. YouTube live chat poll. How do you feel about the president's sombrero memes? It's a funny joke or doesn't bother you at all. Maybe you think it's not helpful, or maybe you think they should be ashamed of themselves. You can tell us on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. We'll be right back. We're going to have a party. I'm pretty excited about this.
Do you know why we're having a party?
Yes.
This station is turning 25 years old this month.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
It is. You know, for a conservative talk radio station to last that long is pretty cool. And being able to be a part of... So we just said this a little bit earlier in the show. Have you been with 97.1 since
2018? So roughly 7 years.
Brad's been here since 2021. I've been here since the very beginning of 2009. I basically got here when Barack Obama got inaugurated. So I've been here for 16 years plus. And watching the arc of this station and you folks as listeners of this, just to kind of see how we've ebbed and flowed, because the personality of the station... We've had amazing people associated with the station for the time that I've been there, even preceding it. Like, we used to have Glenn Beck on and Laura Ingraham. And I remember when I was working at 590, I was in sports talk for 3 years before I did this. I would take a lunch break. At 590, by the time I left, I was doing about 3 full-time jobs worth of stuff. But my desk was the front desk. So I would buzz people in. Is it Don King who is the wrestling guy?
The promoter.
Don King kissed me on the mouth one time.
Oh, that's a new story.
I've told this before, but when I was working at 590, I was supposed to be the person who would buzz people in, and he came to do an in-studio hit for something, he was promoting something, but I was walking past my desk at the time, so there was no one to buzz him in, and so I physically opened the door for him, and I was like, "Hello, Mr. King, it's great to have you here," and he just kissed me. He's like, "It's great to be here." I was like,
"Oh my gosh."
Okay.
Was this normal for Don King?
I guess maybe this would have been mid-2000s, so
we could get away with a lot then.
I think it was a different time, but I did so much stuff there, a lot of busy work. I did a lot of commercial production. Like, I would voice commercials and stuff, but I wasn't on air or anything like that. And I left, I interviewed for my job at 97.1, which was the digital brand manager position. So I was in charge of all things digital, the website and everything. I was a part of the support team. For probably a year before I interviewed for that position, I would go to lunch and I would sit at Webster Groves Park. And there's a beautiful park out there. And I will still go back. Usually at the end of October, the beginning of November, it'll be cold, it'll be rainy. And there is this stunning tree, beautiful big tree, has the biggest yellow leaves. I don't know what kind of tree it is because I'm not a tree.
It's an arborist. A hydrangea.
It's not. I know it's not that. That's like a bush. But when you know that like fall, that autumn rain where everything's kind of cold and drab, but it gets on the wetness of the rain gets on the bark of the tree and it turns like jet black, but the trees are electric. The leaves are electric yellow.
Yes.
And the tree is just beautiful.
That's coming soon.
Well, I know. And I'm glad I'm talking about this because every once in a while I'll forget about it. But I will still go back to look at that tree because I don't know if I ever really told this part of the story before. I would leave for an hour and lunch from 590, and I would go, because the station at the time was in Webster Groves, right on the other side of the block of Emo's, assuming Emo's is still there. I would go sit at that Webster Groves Park, usually get lunch, and sit there and eat lunch in my car, and I would listen to 97.1 for an hour. And it was usually Bill O'Reilly into Sean Hannity, I think, depending on what time I took my lunch break. And I just thought it was kind of like a secret. Like, there's this 97.1 thing and they think like me and they talk like me. And I was in my early 20s at that time. And I would just go, like, I felt like, I hope that you as a listener right now feel like listening to the station, like, I have this corner. These are my people. The station exists and it succeeds because there are other people who need their lunch break, or their, if you're driving around in your car because you're in sales or deliveries or whatever it might be, like all kinds of kinds. Business owners, blue collar people would just listen in. And this was in the mid-2000s going into an election campaign. And I remember when Barack Obama ended up winning. I remember listening to all of that coverage. I remember listening to Sean Hannity after that. And it made a huge imprint on me. And when the opportunity presented itself to interview for that digital brand manager job, which I was completely not qualified for, thank you, Jeff and Tony, for hiring me. I went in and just was like, I'm a 97.1 person. Give me a chance. I'll learn everything. And thank God they took a risk on me. But I think that spirit still exists. And I think about all of the roller coaster turns and tumbles and loops that we've been through since I was sitting in the Webster Groves Park listening to this station. All of the things we've been through, like Trump was a nothing at that point. We were at the genesis of whatever hope and change was. We're celebrating 25 years of being here for you in St. Louis. I'm so blessed and honored to be a part of it. I'm glad you guys are a part of it. And we are hoping to fill this party with people just like you and celebrate in October 25 years.
Come to the party. It is on the 23rd of this month, and you can find out more 971talk.com/events. You can RSVP there for free, mm-hmm. or you can get VIP seats. Either way, we'll all be there, so we're just inviting you to come hang out with us and be a part of the party.
Mitch just tweeted at me on X and said, Annie, I know that tree or several of them by Blackburn Park. I'm going to go Google that right now and see if that's the right park. And I got to go this season. I'm so excited about it. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.